lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible. It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local now. We have come to the end of another broadcast week, and we've come upon the best day. It's Friday. Yeah. We'll have the Friday song for you a little bit later on. Also, Rico Aller will join us from Northern Nevada, our eyes and ears in Northern Nevada. He'll join us from the beautiful Dayton, Nevada. And all in all, it's going to be a fun day. How many of you, by a show of hands, if you're driving, just give me a nod of the head, how many of you saw clips or actually watched the Democrat presidential wannabe debate? Yeah. It was something to behold. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot. Can we do the Friday song?
No, you have your guest.
Can we do the Friday song? No.
You have your guest.
Okay. That's okay. Tell you what, let's do, though. Let's check in with Paris Denard. He is a political commentator, former George Bush 43 staffer, and joins us. Paris, good morning. What did you think of what happened last night? And is it really true that the RNC is going to pay the Democrat National Committee to have two debates a month, not just one? That was laughable.
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you for having me. The debate was, it was laughable. And I think that if you look at all that went on last night, you have to come away with asking the question, who can stand against Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, on any debate stage and debate on substantive policy after the record that he has successfully had as president of the country? None of those people that you saw on that stage tonight can do that. They absolutely can't do that. You know, we heard them talk about how the president is racist. We heard, you know, Castro attacked Joe Biden for about his memory and his age and some ageism. We had, you know, Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, and her cheap shots to these one-line jokes, you know, that they had the whole night, that she was laughing at herself. But no time did we have any substantive conversation about veterans, about impeachment, that they're all excited about Russia, because I guess they've given up on Russia in terms of racism. And they certainly didn't talk about HBCUs, because of the tale that Texas Southern University, there was no substantive conversation about HBCUs during HBCU week. And you know why they didn't do that? Because President Donald Trump is the first sitting president to attend the National HBCU Week Conference and talk about his unprecedented support for HBCUs and so forth at college universities. And you know what you didn't hear them talk about, Kevin? The economy. They didn't talk about the economy because the economy is growing, the economy is strong, the economy is better than ever. Unemployment rates are at record lows, as you very well know. I happen to be African American, and I am proud to know that this inclusive economy this president has driven down the unemployment rate for African Americans. The last one last month was at 5.5%, for adult African American females at 4.4%. These are things that Kamala Harris certainly wasn't talking about, which she should have. These are things that Cory Booker wasn't talking about, but he should have. He Senator Booker spent his time talking about criminal justice reform. I guess he did it. But the funny thing about criminal justice reform is that for the years that he's been in the Senate, he was unable to move the needle when President Obama was in office. It only took the leadership and the courage of President Donald J. Trump pushing the House and the Senate, talking to Mitch McConnell directly, having the support of Senator Tim Scott, and getting it done. That's why they don't talk about these things. They don't talk about the things that are real, that are impacting American lives, especially over in Nevada, because they know that to do that means to get some credit. So they spend time with these cheap shots and these jokes, and you know, it's not going anywhere. I don't think you'll see doubt in any way. And it's to your earlier question, is the RNC going to pay them to have more debates? I don't know, but you know what I do know, my friend? The RNC can afford it. Because under Ron, Daniel, and Tommy, they are raising money because the people are responding, the voters are responding, the base is responding by donating to the RNC as never before. And they have zero debt and millions in the bank ready to activate, mobilize, and get out the vote on behalf of the president and this entire GOP. The Democrats are suffering. They have a lack of energy, they have a lack of emotion, a lack of enthusiasm, and they have a lack of donors coming to the same rallying cry like they are for our side. So if they want to have more debates, go ahead, because they're just embarrassing themselves and they're getting caught up in their own rush to the left, to further and further extreme left socialism of the party. You may have some kind of new moderates up there. They're going to get eaten alive because they want to be the squad party, the socialism party, and go ahead. Those people, those candidates cannot hold a candle to the record and the leadership of Donald J. Trump. And we saw that live in living color in Houston, Texas last night.
Let me ask you, Paris, who do we blame? You went down the whole litany of things that the Democrats didn't talk about, things that most Americans do think about and do care about. Is that ABC News that has to take responsibility for that? Obviously, the candidates don't ask the questions. It's George Stephanopoulos and others for ABC News that are asking questions. Is it ABC that ends up, you know, having just dropped the ball when it comes to topic material?
You know what? I don't want to give it all to ABC News, because you know what, Kevin? If I'm running for president of the United States, there's no way George Stephanopoulos is going to dictate what I say on the microphone if I'm running to be president of the United States. If there are issues that are of concern to me or this country, let's talk about them. So, you know, I fault both of them. I think, one, those leadership should be willing to stand up and talk about the things that are good and things that are bad and be able to do what they're going to have to do against Donald J. Trump. But at the same time, ABC News does have responsibility to ask those pointed questions about the economy and to ask them pointedly about criminal justice reform and why they didn't do anything. And when you hear Senator talk about, well, you know, this Congress has done absolutely nothing. And here's the direct quote, this Congress has done absolutely nothing. I paused and like, aren't you a part of this Congress? All of you senators that are up there, and Vice President Biden and his administration, like, if you complain about the lack of things that are getting done in Congress or the state of healthcare in America complaining about this, I'm confused because, you know, President Trump wasn't able to repeal and replace it because the Republican Congress wasn't able to get it done because, and frankly, because Senator John McCain was that no vote at 2 in the morning. So the Democrats have the component out, but yet they didn't do anything about it. They're complaining about things and that they have not fixed, they have not let on. And so I think ABC has the responsibility to not just give softballs, but ask those probing questions as if Donald Trump was standing right there, dig deeper. And it's not just for politics' sake, it's for the people's sake, because the American people, the ones who are watching this debate, deserve to hear those candidates answer those questions about the economy, about HBCUs, about where they stand on impeachment, about where they stand about really supporting the veterans, and about this president's record, because they're going to have to go up against it because none of them have a record to run on for themselves.
Again, Paris Denard joining us, political commentator, former George W. Bush, or George Bush 43 staffer. He is a guy that has a wealth of knowledge, and he's an African-American. I want to ask you, there is this thought that the president, who seems to be doing better among Hispanics and African-Americans, that he has a chance to have a breakthrough election with these groups, Hispanics and African-Americans. Do you think that's still possibly in the cards? I know that he was up around 30% with Hispanics. And he outperformed what many people thought he would with African Americans. Do you think it's possible that this president could be the first Republican in a long time to really take a step forward in this direction?
I think when you look at the two presidents who did extremely well when it came to minority votes, and on the Republican side were President Richard Nixon and George W. Bush. And I think that when you look at what those presidents did at the time, President Nixon was, in terms of minority business development, he was really supporting and investing in and finding talent in these small businesses that were minorities, having really focused on uplifting them. And you look at what President George W. Bush did in terms of his strong education agenda, especially as it related to giving parental choice. These are things that education and the economy are two things that President Trump has really championed. And in addition to that, it's sort of like, I call it his jobs and justice agenda and this inclusive economy. When you look at the criminal justice reform piece, when you look at what he's done in terms of deregulation, supporting small businesses, doing things like licensure, making it easy for licensure issues so that if you are a licensed practitioner in one area, let's say you're a beautician and you own your own salon or a barber, you don't have to go, he's trying to make it sort of easier. So if you move from, you know, let's say Las Vegas and you go to Phoenix, Arizona, a lot of issues, you don't have to, the government doesn't have to charge you to get another license because you're always a license you want. Smart, thoughtful policies like that are things that really have an impact on minority small business owners. And so when you look at the economy doing so well and his support of charter schools and vouchers and not having people gridlock and stuck in zip codes and failing public schools and opening up and giving parental choice, these are it's a right situation for the president to do even better than he already did in the past. And I think that as long as people can have an open mind and an open heart to hearing the message and the facts and the data and the statistics that are back up what he's been doing in this inclusive economy, I think he's going to do extremely well and better and overperform in those with those key demographic groups.
Paris, let's go back to last night and that moment where, let's face it, Julian Castro called out the vice president for a lack of memory or the onset of senility, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
The question is, did Julian Castro help himself or hurt himself?
I think Julian Castro really hurt himself because in the Democrat Party, they have been so hell-bent on attacking President Trump, the tone and how he, you know, his counterattacks and we go low, you know, they go low, we go high. So they've been trying to elevate, you know, they made fun of our first lady, the best initiative, which talks about bullying and things like that. So if that is your standard, right, it's a good for the good, good for the gander. So when you start to weigh in and attack Vice President Biden, not on merit, not on policy, not on, but actually on his perceived lack thereof of mental acuity, I think that is a problem. And the other thing is, Biden didn't help himself because he stood there and he turned to Senator Bernie Sanders. What did he say? What did he say? Because he didn't hear him. And so yeah. Bernie Sanders told him what he said, and then Joe Biden didn't put him back. He could have had a Reagan moment. So he could have had a Reagan moment, like President Reagan had on the debate stage and said, well, you know what? I won't let your youth and unexperience, you know, yeah. We talked about really that moment. So it was a missed moment for Joe Biden as well, but I don't think Castro helped himself because it made him seem disrespectful to the vice president, but also on the fact that he was having an unfounded claim. And I think in this world, and this is my last point, we need to be careful about diagnosing people. I didn't like it when they would say things like President Trump is crazy, President Trump is unsafe. You know, I didn't like those things because there are people who really do struggle with mental issues. And President Trump does not have those issues. And I don't like when people do that to him. And I don't think it's fair for anybody to do that to any candidate. And Castro did not help himself. And I think the polling after this will reflect. If he thought he was going to go up last night, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so if not Joe Biden, which candidate made the quantum leap? Did anybody, especially the 2%ers, the 3%ers, the 5%ers, anybody that in your view moved up a notch, maybe into that upper echelon level?
No. I think that if you look at, you know, in terms of talk time, you know, Senator Cory Booker spoke a lot. He got 13 minutes, and he was just above Senator Sanders. So Harris, Sanders, and Booker were all at the 13-minute mark, and then Biden got 17 minutes, and Warren got 16 minutes. So I think, you know, it was a good night for Cory Booker. I think he was able to tell more of his personal story. I think that, you know, Bernie Sanders' voice was kind of off, and so he wasn't able to really project and have a command of the stage. But I think that you have people that are just not going to move up to that to the tier. Yang, I think he's trying, but when he's pretty much trying to buy votes, literally buy votes, you know, I'm going to give $1,000 to people who go to my website and just give, literally buy votes, you know, something laughable. The other candidates on the stage laugh at him. I mean, that's embarrassing for your campaign to actually be so low that you're going to have to offer money to people to come to your website. I mean, that's where they are, so he's not going anywhere. You know, I think Robert Francis, and I won't call him Beto, but Robert Francis O'Rourke, I think he tried to use the tragedy of what happened with the mass shooting to try to tell him and his campaign forward, but I think that the American people are wanting more than that, because there's more going on in the country than that one moment, and he really hasn't led on anything significant to make any significant change since he's been in office. And so I think that he missed his moment too to shine on other issues. So really, quite frankly, I didn't see anybody. It was a very long, I watched the whole thing. It was very long, it was very boring, and there was no fresh new ideas, and there was no real counter to record the achievement of President Trump. You can sit there and make fun of him and make play little jokes about him, but that's not going to work. It's not going to work because now he's president and he has a real record and they have nothing to counter that with.
Hey, Paris, it's always good visiting with you and getting your counsel. We'll do it again. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Thank you so much.
Paris Denard, political commentator, former George Bush 43 staffer, joining us live and local now.
I had a problem. I just had a USB card just fail. So I had to go.
How is that impacting?
Well, that's that's coming out of the computer that I play the cuts on.
Oh, okay.
So I think I've got it to where it'll work. Yeah. Okay.
And you have the Friday song?
I have the Friday song.
I didn't know what.
I couldn't.
Was that the problem? That was the problem.
That was the problem. I couldn't pull up any of my normal cuts. Let's make sure I got the cats here. Yeah, there they are. Wait a minute, why are they still playing? Okay.
Go away?
Yeah, it finally stopped. I clicked the stop button and it kept playing. Okay. Well, this is weird. And one cut is not stopping. The others do. These are the mean cats.
Maybe we ought to not do the cats today. We can't control the cats. Maybe we should.
Well, you couldn't control them last night either. Oh, my God. Let's see. Yeah, I guess we're going to go straight into our bump.
Yeah. That gives us a nice long inner view.
Yeah, so you can rest that last
time. By the way, it's Jameson.
Jameson, okay. Okay.
You have that worried look on your face.
I just, nothing is working quite right today.
Do you think it'll be working tomorrow?
Oh yeah. It this is not the problem.
Okay.
The problem is this and others, you know, it's just, this is weird.
No, but I meant for the broadcast tomorrow.
Oh yeah. You know, we can do this for an hour a day, 5 days a week. We can do it for 4 hours tomorrow with no problem. As long as Fred's hotspot holds up. That's the only weak spot in the whole routine.
In 1 year, the Coralie Range people will get a Wi-Fi.
Ooh.
Yeah, move into the 21st century.
Well, I guess we should go get into news here. You'll have 1 minute when the music comes back.
That's fine. That's fine. 293-1875 or through Facebook at facebook.com/NevadaTalkNetwork. facebook.com/NevadaTalkNetwork. You have nothing to lose but a little bit of time. Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
Thank God it's Friday!
Go.
Great to have you with us. It is live and local now. The moment. It is, in every debate, there is that moment. And it's incredible, but it's true. Julian Castro was one of the cats that just quit not the team. And in fact, he went after former Vice President Joe Biden. We'll let you hear the moment that the cat got a little speech. Do that for coming up live and local now.
I mistimed that badly. No, I thought we were going straight to bumper, and it turned out that we still had another 30 seconds.
Then we come back and talk?
Huh?
Do I need to come back and talk?
No, not now. I mean, that's why we have no music to bring you back.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering. But again, I don't hear everything that you play sometimes.
Yeah. No, I badly mistimed that.
Okay, that's one mistake for the year.
Yeah.
You don't make many of them.
No, okay, get your break.
Thank you, I'll be back.
When the guy that comes to talk, making radio great again.
Hey, it's me. You know, you tell me. Sorry to interrupt your business, but I've been trying to get your attention for the past half. I am hungry. Let's go to Taco Time.
Oh.
The slow roasted to juicy perfection in a sweet pork burrito or a sweet pork bowl. Sweet, right?
So what you say? Can we go? Huh? Can we?
Listen to your tummy. Get a sweet pork burrito or a sweet pork bowl at Taco Time, where real ingredients make better food.
Hi, I'm Charlie Jones, here with your invitation to join me 9 to midnight, Sunday through Thursday, right here when Nevada comes to talk. Making radio great again. Beginning at 9 p.m., I'll lay it on.
I'm not like.
Adjust the news of the day, keep an eye on the world events, take
I never noticed this before.
And dial in a good sharp focus on the ever changing American news landscape and mix in new perceptions and observations from your phone calls. To tell your friends I'm here tonight and I want to talk to you, 9 p.m. to midnight, Sunday through Thursday, right here where Nevada comes to talk. Making radio great again.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Rocker Eddie Money has passed away. Born Edward Joseph Mahoney in Brooklyn, his grandfather, father, and brother were NYPD cops. Money himself was an officer trainee for a year, but music came calling and he moved to California. After backing other artists for years, he became a hit with charting songs in the late 70s through the 80s, like Take Me Home Tonight to Baby Hold On to this one. Earlier this year, Money disclosed he was battling stage 4 esophageal cancer. He lost his battle early Friday. Eddie Money was 70. Tropical storm Umberto could be heading towards the Florida Panhandle. It could arrive this weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios.
Here's a quote I said 3 years ago. I think we need to get Ann Robinson back over to the U.S. and have all the presidential candidates compete in an episode of The Weakest Link.
So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225. NMLS number 1136.
Let us know what's on your mind. Email NevadaTalkNet at gmail.com or call 775-293-1875.
Good morning. Good morning.
I just love it. I just love it. Friday. It is the day that we work all week to get to. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are there. Here we go.
Oh, man. What day is it? It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday song. There's just nothing better. Last night,
Julian Castro, the former mayor of San Antonio, a guy that I have interacted with over the years. He was one of those cats that just got a little bit out of a little out of sorts.
Yeah.
Dealing with Democrats is like herding a bunch of cats, a bunch of whiny cats. I found it interesting. Let's go to cut three, though. This is the moment everybody's been talking about today. It's the moment when Julian Castro took down Joe Biden. Many people in the crowd, you could tell it was not universally accepted what he was saying. But this was the way it came down last night in Houston, in Texas, the home state of Julian Castro. This is the way it happened last night.
I want every single American family to have a strong Medicare plan available. If they choose to hold on to strong, solid private health insurance, I believe they should be able to do that. But the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in. And I would not require them to opt in. They would automatically be enrolled. They wouldn't have to buy in. That's a big difference, because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If you qualify,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago? Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy in. You're forgetting that.
I said anyone with a grandmother who has no money.
She would healthcare system
automatically
enrolls people regardless of whether they choose to opt in or not. If you lose your job, for instance, his healthcare plan would not automatically enroll you. You would have to opt in. My healthcare plan would. That's a big difference. I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not.
I'll be surprised to him.
Andrew Yang.
This is why presidential debates are becoming unwatchable.
Yeah.
This reminds everybody of what they cannot stand about Washington. Scoring points against each other, poking at each other, and telling each other that you're my plan, your plan. Look, we all...
Yeah, that's called a Democratic primary election. That's called an election. That's an election. You know? This is what we're here for. It's an election.
Yeah, but a house divided cannot stand.
Funny, funny, funny comedy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Just absolutely hilarious. One of the other moments came early in the debate. Kamala Harris, the People's Republic of California. No, Wyatt, no. You got it wrong again. Wyatt, no, you can't do that. That's the walk-in music for Kamala the Ugandan Giant, the old wrestler. That's totally different than Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a sitting United States Senator. This was the way Kamala Harris began the debate last night in Houston. Here it is.
So, President Trump, you spent the last 2.5 years full-time trying to sow hate and division among us, and that is why we've gotten nothing done. You have used hate, intimidation, fear, and over 12,000 lies as a way to distract from your failed policies and your broken promises. The only reason you've not been indicted is because there was a memo in the Department of Justice that says a sitting president cannot be charged with a crime. But here's what you don't get. What you don't get is that the American people are so much better than this. And we know that the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us, regardless of our race, where we live, or the party with which we're registered to vote. And I plan on focusing on our common issues, our common hopes and desires, and in that way unifying our country, winning this election, and turning the page for America. And now, President Trump, you can go back to watching Fox News.
I just love it.
I just absolutely love it. This was an interesting debate. By the way, this hour of Live Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable healthcare option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. You can do it right now, in fact. Check it out at 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. Don't forget, all across these Nevada network stations, we're going to be broadcasting live from 11 until 3 at the 5th Annual Bass Fry. So if you're listening to this radio station right now, you tune in between 11 and 3, and you'll hear Adam Laxalt. You'll hear, Corey Lewandowski. Yeah. You're going to hear the speakers. You're going to hear interviews. Megan Barth from ReaganBabe.com will join us as kind of the second voice in the booth, so to speak, as they say in sports. That's all
tomorrow before the event.
Start flying up this afternoon. In fact, as soon as I get off the air, I'll head across the street to the airport, to McCarran International Airport, and we'll be staying at my favorite place in Northern Nevada, the Carson Nugget. Oh, we Dean DeLillo's a great establishment, and we always have so much fun when we're up there with him. And he is such a great host. But Dean DeLillo always treats us great at the Carson Nugget. So there you go. And I occasionally win. And I thank you. Don't remind me. I want to go back to Joe Biden though. Jorge Ramos has taken a lot of hits in the media, but to his credit, he asked some rather pointed questions of Joe Biden, the former vice president, who for 8 years sat at the side of the president of the United States, Barack Obama. Last night, Jorge Ramos asked some rather pointed questions of the former vice president. This is cut one. Here it is. Go.
Only a few weeks ago, the deadliest massacre of Latinos. In modern U.S. history, it happened in this state, in El Paso. So the fear among Latinos, and you know this, is very real. So let me start with an issue that is causing a lot of division in this context, immigration. Vice President Biden, as a presidential candidate in 2008, you supported the border wall, saying, unlike most Democrats, I voted for 700 miles of fence. This is what you said. Then you served as vice president in an administration that deported 3 million people. The most ever in U.S. history. Did you do anything to prevent those deportations? I mean, you've been asked this question before and refused to answer, so let me try it once again. Are you prepared to say tonight that you and President Obama made a mistake about deportations? Why should Latinos trust me?
What Latinos should look at is comparing this president to the president we have is outrageous, number one. We didn't lock people up in cages. We didn't separate families. We didn't do all of those things, number one. Number two, by the time, this is the president who came along with the DACA program. No one had ever done that before. This is the president who sent a legislation to the desk saying he wants to find a pathway for the 11 million undocumented in the United States of America. This is the president who's done a great deal. So I'm proud to have served with him. What I would do as president is several more things, because things have changed. I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come. I would change the order that the president just changed, saying women who were being beaten and abused could no longer claim that as a reason for asylum. And by the way, retrospectively, you know, the 25th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act is up. The Republican Congress has not reauthorized it. Let's put pressure on them to pass the Violence Against Women Act now.
You didn't answer the question. Did you make a mistake with those deportations?
The president did the best thing that was able to be done at the
time. How
about you? I'm the vice president of the United States.
Fair design. poor Joe Biden. Poor Sleepy Joe, or Creepy Joe, as I like to call him. Anyway, stick around. More to do as we'll have more from the debate last night. Some very interesting stuff that went down last night in Houston.
Funny comedy.
And some of it was funny comedy. We'll get to that more coming up. Live and local now. Where Nevada comes I'll be down for a few.
Okay.
Radio great again. The official radio stations of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm Byron Bergeron, and I'm a lawyer. Now I know that people don't like lawyers, but think of it like this. I'm here to level the playing field so you get a fair shake. Let me give you an example. You get into a wreck. Your insurance company wants you to think it represents you, and its priority is your best interests. You know, good hands. The truth is, its priority is its checkbook and its shareholders. If it's to their advantage, they will throw you under the bus so fast, you'll think the mayhem guy in the TV commercial is driving. I have only one client, you. And I can keep these companies in line because I have only one shareholder to answer to, me. I answer my own phone. I return my own phone call. And other than my wife and two babies, the most important people in the world are my clients. 775-229-3736. 775-229-3736. When you need the field leveled so you can get a fair shake, call me.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. 800-712-8087. That's 800-712-8087.
Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk. Our programming originates on the beautiful Georgetown Ranch in Ely, Nevada, over KELY AM 1230. For nearly 70 years, the news source for White Pine County. In Sparks, Reno, Carson City, you're listening to KNNR 1400 AM. In Battle Mountain, you hear us on 98.5 FM, KNNC. In Hawthorne, Nevada, over 98.7 FM, KAVB. In the Amargosa Valley, on 101.1 FM, KPKK. And in Pahrump, we're available on KPPM Television, channel 46.6. And in Fallon, Nevada, we're available on KNVR FM, 102.5 FM. Thanks for listening to the Nevada Talk Network, where Nevada comes to talk.
What does 1 minute?
The balloon. The balloon accident. Yeah, it was here at Springs, sold by Gene
Passionate. Supporting our Constitution and recognizing that we are blessed to be living in America. The greatest country in the world.
Our Bill of Rights protects us, our freedoms of worship, speech, and privacy, our right to own firearms, our right to trial by jury.
Our right to be free, to live our own lives, without some bureaucrat telling us what to do. Most countries don't have these rights.
Want to know more? It's all there in the book. Get your own free book, the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Then read it again, and this time share it with your friends. Our great Constitution is the basis of all of our freedoms, our inalienable rights. Get your own copy at freeusbook.com.
I'm ready when you're ready.
Here we go.
Let us know what's on your mind. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NevadaTalkNet, or visit our website, nvtalk.com.
I really want to care. I want to feel something. Let me dig a little deeper.
Sorry, nothing. I love it. What's the
We didn't pick them. Maybe somebody else will get time to listen. Why give a damn?
I just love Joni Messina, and every so often, after you watch 10 presidential wannabes on the Democrat side, would somebody wake him up? Somebody, wake up the former vice president. Come on, please. Anyway, okay, I promised I'd bring you highlights of Beto O'Rourke. Robert Francis O'Rourke.
No, God, please, no.
We got to do this. No, we have to do this. This is Beto O'Rourke, better known as Robert Francis O'Rourke. That's his given name. Was very passionate last night when it. I'll just let you hear Beto O'Rourke in his own words. Here it is.
You know, the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high-impact, high-velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield, not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15, and that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
And
I want to say this. I'm listening to the people of this country. The day after I proposed doing that, I went to a gun show in Conway, Arkansas, to meet with those who are selling AR-15s and AK-47s and those who are buying those weapons. And you might be surprised, there was some common ground there. Folks who said, I would willingly give that up, cut it to pieces. I don't need this weapon to hunt, to defend myself. It is a weapon of war. So let's do the right thing, but let's bring everyone in America into the conversation. Republicans, Democrats, gun owners, and non-gun owners alike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming up in our next hour, we're going to find out, we're going to find out if you are the people that Beto O'Rourke was talking about, the people that would accept having their AR-15 confiscated. By the way, it happens to be one of the most popular rifles out there, one of the most popular weapons out there. It's the AR-15. Are you among that crowd that says, you know, you own an AR-15, but if they have a buyback program, you'll give it back to the government? Is that really what you want? And we'll get to your calls coming up in our next hour. Is that fair? We're going to spend an entire hour trying to figure out if that is what America will accept. Are you okay with allowing the government to buy back your AR-15? Which happens to be one of the most popular weapons out there. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Escape Adventures. Are you and your family looking for an extended outdoor experience? Well, then check out Escape Adventures. You're going to love this. Owner Jared Fisher and the pros at Escape Adventures can provide you, your family, even your business, with a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Find out more at escapeadventures.com. That's escapeadventures.com. Bernie Sanders is trying to stay alive. In some of the polling, he has fallen to third behind Biden and Elizabeth Warren. But last night, he drew a comparison between his proposed policy in Afghanistan and Iraq policy. And remember what happened in Iraq? Barack Obama said, we're leaving. And essentially declared victory and went home. What happened was ISIS filled that void. It began as 25, 50, 100 people. It ended up being thousands, tens of thousands of fighters.
That's what will happen in Afghanistan if we leave there without some residual force. And the fact is, they screwed it up. And Bernie Sanders, we don't have time to get the cut in, but suffice to say, Bernie Sanders and his proposed policy, which is essentially bring our troops home now, it's not going to work. I'm going to tell you why it's not going to work. Same reason it didn't work in Iraq. We created a void in Iraq. It was filled by ISIS. Forget about the Taliban or anybody like that. It was filled by ISIS. And that same thing is going to happen in Afghanistan. And it'll be either ISIS or it'll be the Taliban or it'll be somebody that fills that void.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
Yeah. And that's why that's kind of the rock in the hard place that the president finds himself in right now in Afghanistan. You know, do you want to cut our troop strength to 8,000? Do you want to cut it dramatically? Or do you want to do as a lot of these Democrats want to do, and that is get them all out now? Okay, coming up, we're going to find out if you are in that group Beto O'Rourke talked about. It's just unbelievable what's going on. Also later on, Rico Aller, the owner of Carson Insulation in Mound House, will join us from beautiful Dayton, Nevada. I wish I was going to be seeing him this weekend at the Corley Ranch, but unfortunately, he's got weddings. I'm not going to see him at the Corley Ranch. I can't believe it. Stick around. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. The program, Live and Local, now.
Thank God it's Friday.
All right, sir. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.